Baptist 21 is a pastor-led voice for Southern Baptists in the 21st century. The B21 podcast will discuss current issues in the SBC with Southern Baptist church leaders. To check out more resources, visit us at baptist21.com.
In this episode, we continue our conversation with Jay Hartsfield about workplace evangelism. We'll discuss evangelism approaches, examples of engaging coworkers with the gospel, advice, how to be patient in the task, as well as we'll talk about engaging with other Christians in the workplace to do evangelism. And then finally, we'll talk about equipping members in the local church for this task.
You've served obviously overseas, and then you obviously engaging the workplace, and you have people there that are, in some ways, you would say, from a human perspective, far from God, far from the gospel. It seems that in 21st century America, patience and even diligence are going to be necessary when it comes to conversion. It's going to take time, and we've kind of hit around this topic. But what counsel, advice would you give for developing a patient mindset when it comes to evangelism?
So I think those, like, that patient mindset and, like, being a missionary, the urgency of the gospel, just like, I've got to get the gospel to as many people as possible. I think a good thing to remember is kind of Christ's role, God's role in conversion of people coming to faith in Christ, and to know, like, hey, you're faithful to what God has called you to be faithful to. What you can't get caught up in is, like, I've got to get these numbers. I've got to get these people. I've got to, like, this person has to know the gospel. Like, God is being glorified every time that you're faithful to share the gospel. His glory is raining out. People are hearing it. People are convicted by that, right? His word does not return void. So it's going out. He is being glorified. And so be patient in knowing, like, hey, this is what we're about. Like, I'm about getting the gospel out there. I'm not necessarily about, like, forcing conversions, because I don't have a role in that.
Yeah, that's good. It's really good. And I do think we're going to... The soil is going to be much more rocky, and I think patience and just work. And also, I think you've hit on this multiple times already, and I think it's very helpful. They're not a project in a sense of, I got to get, you know, check the box that I've shared the gospel with them. This is a relationship you're cultivating, showing respect. And I think once you see them not as a project but as a friend, you will be patient in hopefully seeing them come to faith in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. If you see people as a project, it's going to cause problems. And they feel it. I have a friend of ours was telling this story one time about a girl she was trying to evangelize. And the girl eventually said, like, are we friends or am I your project? Like, the girl
she said
asked,
that. Yeah. Right, okay.
And there's a reality in that of, like, hey, you don't, if you go in seeing them as these projects to be one, I think it's like you're misplacing God's role in salvation. And then two, they notice that. They're looking for friendship. Provide friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to be a pro. That's good. So you've mentioned this a little, that you have worked with other, you've been in situations where you've had other Christians in the workplace with you. So in engaging with the gospel coworkers who are not Christians, how do you interact with the other Christians in your workplace? And even how do you seek to kind of employ them in any efforts you have as far as engagement?
Yeah. So one thing I would say about Christians in the workplace, so two things. One, don't assume that they know the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like, especially here, we need to ask, like, and you don't have to flat out ask, like, tell me the gospel, like, what is it? But to get to know them and really understand, like, hey, is this person someone that I would say, like, I'm going to say with a certain amount of certainty, I will see you in heaven one day. And so when you find those people, like, there's one guy at the job I work now who's like an ally in this. We get together, we have lunch from time to time, and we talk about, like, opportunities that we have to share the gospel. Who we've kind of shared with. And I think that has been just an encouragement to both of us to, like, hey, I'm not alone in this workplace sharing the gospel. And it's a big company we work for. There's a lot of employees. And I think just finding him especially has been a great tool. And with kind of more nominal believers that I think probably could be a believer, but I'm not exactly sure, I kind of use that as a discipleship. Not a discipleship like I would where I'm kind of at a church kind of pastoring someone, but more of like, let me tell you about my life and kind of way I do. And they're generally convicted about that.
Because they're not living like that.
They're not living like that. And they're kind of struck by that.
With the one before you talked about with the supervisor who kind of it was evident to him, not just because of your life, but because there were these other brothers working there as well. What did kind of interaction look like between you guys as Christians that you think was compelling to him, but also kind of clarifying to him that he's not, that he doesn't have what y'all have?
Yeah, I think one was just our friendship in general. Like, we enjoyed being around each other. Like, coming to work was a joy to us. Like, hey, we're going to work. We get to see our friends. We get to work hard. Like, I think Christians underestimate what it means to put in a good day's work and be joyful about that work. That strikes people. It's like, no, I didn't love working in a produce factory. What I loved was that I got to glorify God in working in a produce factory. And it was fun, and we enjoyed it. And I think he was struck by that. Like, oh, and the other thing that I think is, like, we said we were going to do something, and we did it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm going to take care of that, and we took care of it. I'm going to show up on time, and we showed up on time. We didn't make lame excuses for not being at work. We were honest. If we were late, look, I overslept.
Yeah.
No excuse. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So honesty and just obviously living out the Christian life among a group was at least to some degree compelling to him.
Yeah. And I think there were quite a few non-believers there that we were evangelizing kind of in this way. And he saw that. And he was like, oh, they believe what they say. Like, they're trying to get people to, and it's on their team, you know?
And I mean, you've seen this from Penn and Teller when he's talked about very clearly, like, to not evangelize, he uses the word proselytize, but to not evangelize would be hateful if you actually believe what we believe.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And, if you can't, I mean, that's.
And the unbelieving world is not surprised by that. They could still be angered by it, but they shouldn't be surprised by the fact that we would say this is serious to us.
No, absolutely not. They're not surprised when you're a Christian and you talk about Christ. They believe that was one thing with overseas when we would tell people, like, you need to make the gospel known early, because these Hindu and Muslims overseas, if you wait 6 months and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, by the way, I'm a Christian, they're like, well, why haven't you been talking about
this? Yeah, why was this not important to you?
If this was important to you, you would have been talking about it.
Yeah, it's good. Have you had any experience then with believers, like with a pre or lunchtime Bible study for kind of unchurched in the workplace? Have y'all had any situations like that?
I have not. I've worked on doing some things like that. The guy I'm working with now, we've had some conversations about that. I'm not against it. By any means, I think they're great if that's kind of your calling. I know another friend of mine, he had a guy at a bank who just, like, showed up one day and was like, hey, I want to start leading a Bible study with guys here at the bank. Like, he was just a client of the bank. And then he's there and he's leading a Bible study with some of the workers at the bank. I would say when it comes to Bible studies, I think what most people would be desperate for is not some, like, fancy, oh, let's go through this book. It's just to sit down and talk scripture with them. Like, lead them through the book of John. Lead them through Acts. Mm. Show them kind of, hey, this is why we believe what we believe.
Now would be a good time to tell you about our sponsor for the Baptist 21 podcast, The Pillar Network. If you're a pastor interested in leading your church to partner with a community of like-minded SBC churches that are doctrinally aligned, missionally driven, and committed to fulfilling the Great Commission by equipping the next generation of pastors to both plant and revitalize churches, then consider joining The Pillar Network. You can find out more information at thepillarnetwork.com. That's thepillarnetwork.com.
I want to get maybe a couple more questions and kind of focus in specifically on the church and thinking about training and equipping in the church. How would you train and equip others to this work, to this task in the local church? And then even maybe a kind of a follow-up question to that, how can a church develop a culture of evangelism, not just in the workplace, but in our neighborhoods, kind of where we hang out? But how would you do training and equipping on this topic?
Yeah, so first, like, I think to kind of creating the culture and kind of training on it is just celebrate it. Yeah. And we talked about that already. Like, make that a thing that we're about. Like, we as a church are about sharing the gospel. And really, for believers, it's an expectation. And in a good way. Like, we're setting good expectations. You know, if I want to be a baseball player, my dad's expectation was we had a batting cage in our backyard.
Yeah, you'd be out there working.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you don't want to be a baseball player. And so if you want to be what Christians do is they share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people will say, well, it's not my gifting, right? Or we've got other people that are doing that well. And we wouldn't say to someone, oh, giving isn't your gifting, so you don't have to give, right? We say, no, like, you still have to give. So with sharing the gospel and evangelism, it is a gifting, and some people are very good at it. And man, I've been around a few people that are just like, this is what I do. Like, I wake up breathing this stuff. Yeah. And when you're around them, you're just like, oh man, like, let me on that. Like, whatever you're doing every morning, I want in on that. Exactly. Like, let me in on that. But I think, but those that don't have that, pursue that to say, like, hey, I want that in my life, and go work at it. So as a church, I think ways to kind of, one, celebrate that. Celebrate from the pulpit. Tell stories. If you're the pastor of the church, you have to be sharing the gospel in a good way. Like, and you might say, well, I'm not good at it, or it's not my gifting, or I don't interact with Christians enough, or non-Christians, then you've got to figure out how. Like, you've got to, whether it's joining a sports league, joining a club, joining a
CrossFit,
whatever it is, find opportunities where people are there that are lost, and then you can share with them. And I think, man, that is, so start there, just as a pastor, make that a part of your life, and then talk about it and say, hey, this is what I do. Then find people you have, I believe every church, right? We like has all parts of the body. There are people in there that are gifted at evangelism, and they probably just don't talk about it. Find them and make them known to the rest of your congregation and pair them together. One example of that, when I was overseas, I had a couple guys that came to work with me, and I was trying to get them to share the gospel in Nepal where we were living, and they were terrible at it. They were going out every day, and I'd be like, hey, go out today, share the gospel, and come back and tell me about who you shared with. And they'd come back. It'd be gone for like 10 hours, and they'd come back, not a single person.
Oh, wow.
And, man, these guys had like, we did a lot of hiking in the job that I did, so they had like gotten, they'd lost weight, they'd gotten ready to do this. And I was beginning to think like, man, they're just terrible Christians. And then I realized like, no, they're not. Like, they left their jobs, they came here, they got in shape, they're serious about their faith. So finally one day, I was like, all right, guys, let's go. So we woke up one morning and we went out, and I went to a very close friend that was not a Christian who knew everything, like a local guy, and I just shared with the gospel with him. Yep. Just sat down like, hey, I'm going to share with you, and just let them watch. Then I went to another guy that I was, and let them talk about the gospel. Then I went to another guy that I kind of knew that I'd shared with a couple times, and just walked up to him. I was like, hey, I want to talk to you about the gospel today, and just share it with him and let them watch, let them ask a few questions.
Yeah.
And then I just picked out a random person, walked up to him, was like, hey, I'm going to tell you the gospel, and just share with them. So we did that a few times, and then finally I would kind of bring them into that. And finally I was just like, all right, I'm going to watch y'all do it. So we, and not like I'm going to lord over you, like, hey, let's do this together.
Yeah.
So we went and did it, and it's like, if you have a question, I'll fill in, I'll help you. And then we'd get done with those conversations, and I would kind of walk them through kind of steps, maybe points in the conversation they could have expounded on the gospel more, they could have asked more kind of pointed questions. Man, we did that for about 2 or 3 days, and then I sent them out again by themselves. I was like, all right, y'all go. They came back that night. It was late, and they ran in. They're like, hey, we got to go. And I'm like, well, what's going on? They're like, well, we met this guy, shared the gospel with him. Now we're going out with him. And I was like, man, this is like, and I think the realization of like, they wanted to do it, and that, but they just didn't know how.
The modeling and bringing them along is obviously just a way to train.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, even if it's not specifically in a classroom. And I think also one of the things you brought up that we've really tried to push at Imago Dei and other places is using your home. And so you kind of mentioned using your home, because that's going to be a way to have, really to have conversation that's not, it's not rushed, and you get a chance to see and kind of be a host to them and show them hospitality. And I even really enjoyed how you said, bring one of those guys that's a good evangelist to dinner with y'all. Let them interact, learn from them. So I think a lot of very helpful tips as far as how to get engaged in this. Would you do a class training for evangelism if you had any experience with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely, I think anything to like, help you if you need a class in evangelism to kind of get you out the door. There was a book I read years ago. It's called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. And he just talks about some practical things to do, like handing out tracts. It's just like if that's your kind of first step into that, and you just need to go to some local event in your community and just like walk around with tracts and hand them out, then man, do it. Like just any kind of step to move you from like kind of baby step from where you are today to that next step.
Yeah. Celebrate anything. You pray for an unbeliever.
Yes.
You invite an unbeliever to church. You give them any kind of gospel literature. Just there's all kinds of things to celebrate, to say, hey, this is a small step, but it's something that would not have happened for them otherwise.
Yeah.
And so they would have had no interaction with the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say kind of a practical, if you're going to train people, like provide opportunities for them to share the gospel.
To do it, to actually model it.
So if you're going to say, I'm going to have a training class on sharing the gospel, make sure that, because usually evangelists are really happy about like evangelizing people. So you can ask them like, hey, would you come in to this class, tell a few stories, and then go out with these people and do it on a weekend that there's like a festival in your town, do it on a weekend that there's something going on, and just go and just see what happens.
We'll just get out of here on this. Just maybe your assessment of how the church is doing, like the larger church, you know, in evangelicalism when it comes to evangelism, and then any just final words of encouragement?
I would say, just thinking through how the church is doing, I think overall we do well. I think there's always this assumption of like, oh, we're at the worst place ever in evangelism. We don't evangelize. It's like, one, I think the church has kind of always been there. Mm-hmm. Like, the church has always existed where we kind of, you know, we have these great awakenings, things like that, where we see these huge, like, bursts in it. But overall, I think it's, there's always just these faithful people. They're just faithful to get out there, to share the gospel and do those things. And I would say, like, don't be discouraged by your people. Don't think that, like, we're not doing. There are people, man, the church I work at is close to Southeastern Seminary, and so many people just excited about the gospel. Young people, you know, that are excited about the gospel, that want to do, like, personal door-to-door style evangelism, where it's just like, I will walk up to anyone and I will share the gospel with them. We teach a class for missionaries at our church, and there was a young couple in there that we had challenged to kind of go out and share some. And they just went to the mall locally, walked up to two Muslim guys and just share the gospel with them. And I think they were like discouraged. Like, we didn't really get all the gospel out. And I was like, no. What you did was incredible.
Any step.
You walked up to two random people from a different religion that you didn't know, and you threw it out there. Like, you put the gospel in their hands. And I think we want to celebrate those things. And so I think the church is doing well. And I think we, as long as men are faithfully preaching the gospel from the pulpits, as long as people take the gospel serious in their life, people are going to evangelize. Our goal should be to connect, I think, those evangelists with people in our church that are struggling with that and really help them.
Yeah, I think we underestimate, too, just particularly in a workplace environment or where you're going to be around somebody for, hours a day, hours a week. We underestimate when we're, very clear that we're Christians. Even if we're not sharing an explicit gospel every time we meet with them, I think we're underestimating that when something happens in their life that's traumatic, they're more than likely going to come to you and ask questions. And so it may seem like they are they're deflecting everything you say. They have zero interest, but there might come a time just your faithfulness will lead to them actually coming and asking serious questions.
Yeah. At my job recently happened where I was sitting out on like a walkway. And this is one thing, I don't think you have to do this every day, but every once in a while I'll try to like read my Bible publicly, just like sitting out at like a walkway or something, where I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it every day because I don't want people to think like, oh, there's Jay, but it's like, oh. And so one day I was sitting there reading, a guy walks by and he's like, hey, what are you reading? I'm like, well, let me tell you about it. Mm-hmm. So I began to share the gospel with him, and he talks some about kind of what he's got going on. And I would encounter him in the hallway from time to time. And so we would talk gospel and other things about his life. And so one day I'm sitting in my office and I see him kind of walking, looking for like something. And I reach out, I'm like, hey, are you looking for somebody? He's like, I'm looking for you.
Oh, wow.
And so he comes in and just, it was some career/girlfriend advice, like, about a girlfriend, about moving in with her. And he wanted some advice about it and what he should do. And so I think, and I'm unashamed at that point to say, look, the advice I'm going to give you is from, I'm a Christian. So this is the advice I'm going to give you and why. And be unashamed of that. Especially in those, they came to you. Like,
right. Yeah.
I'm going to tell whatever I want. And if they, like, they complain to HR, it's like, well, he came to me.
He asked my advice.
Yeah, he asked my advice, and I gave him my advice. I'm not going to apologize for that.
If somebody listening to this has more questions, want to get in touch with you, what would be a good email for them to reach out?
Yeah, so you can email me at globalmissions@idcraleigh.com. I'll talk to you there. You could also, I'm on Twitter. I think it's JF Hartsfield.
Okay. We'll put that out with the blog and everything.
Yeah, so and I would probably say just direct message me on there. That's probably the easiest way.
Awesome.
And I'd love to, it's a passion of mine, as you can tell. It's something I enjoy doing. It's something my wife enjoys doing. And we just really challenge people to like, one step forward, like one step in the right direction. We lead a small group. And I would say that's another thing. If you're, one more quick thing, if you're leading a small group, you're leading a Sunday school, like celebrate it even in those small, like in those small settings. Be like, hey, who are we praying for this week? Who'd you share with?
Yeah.
How can we pray for them?
That's wonderful. Well, Jay, man, appreciate you, brother. So thankful for just the way you've encouraged me in this area and just for taking time to be on here.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. You've been listening to the Baptist 21 podcast.